So I'm going to bring Brexit to Balham. And I'm not Jacob's Rees-Mogg. So let's pray as we seek to look into God's word. Let's pray. Father of mercy, in your word, what endless glory shines. Forever be your name adored for these celestial lines. Teach us to love your sacred word and view our Saviour there. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. This summer, what have you found most interesting? Love Island? The World Cup? Or the Brexit negotiations? Well, regardless of which one, if any, interested you the most, I can guarantee that everyone in this room here has a view or an opinion on Brexit. Even if your view is that Brexit is boring or not suitable for polite conversation. What are the expert political opinions on Brexit? Deal or no deal? Some political experts think that things could get really dire. Others think that all this dreary talk is just Project Fear being reheated in the microwave. I'm not an expert, but personally, I blame Noel Edmonds for Brexit. For those uninformed, he was the TV presenter of No Deal or No Deal back in the noughties now, which is the last decade. Crazy, right? Anyway, expert or not, when I examine the data, it's clear from the referendum results that the vast majority of people in our great city of London are not pro-Brexit. In our borough of Wandsworth alone, 66%, or two-thirds, of people voted to remain. And when you talk to people on the road, rightly or wrongly, some of them are actually quite worried. Some are genuinely feeling insecure about their future status here, or uncertain how their businesses will continue operating. This uncertainty and feeling of insecurity will only ramp up over the next year as the mood music from the media frenzy over a potential no-deal scenario plays out, which could affect investor confidence and consumer confidence. Companies won't invest, people won't spend money in the shops, potentially impacting job security. What has Brexit got to do with Psalm 48, you may be thinking? Well, hold your horses. You have to wait to find out. So a little bit of background. Psalm 48 belongs to a cluster of three songs in the ancient album that we've had on our Spotify playlist this summer at Christchurch Balham. The difficult second album, as Andy, our minister, has called it. He's on holiday, by the way, for those wondering. Let's pray for him. He needs a rest. For those unfamiliar, a psalm is simply a song. A song which would originally have been sung in the temple courts in Jerusalem. Second Temple Judaism for the geeks. Back then, that is, when it was still standing. Today, only one wall of that temple remains intact, that you can still physically see and touch. The Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall. And the band on tour, back in them good old days, playing at the temple bar, were called the Sons of Korah. Look at verse 1. If you just look up from verse 1, you'll see it says, the sons of Korah, a song. In the Hebrew, that is verse 1. The sons of Korah That sounds to me more like a Viking metal band than anything else. Last week we heard the band play their arabesque, or short song, about the great king. 2 weeks ago we heard them play their smash hit, The Rock of Ages, in Psalm 47. Oh no, Psalm 47 was the great king. Psalm 46 was the Rock of Ages. And I like to think today, about today's Psalm, Psalm 48, as the acoustic version of Psalm 46, as it has a very similar theme, but it's a slightly more reflective, and its focus shifts to the band's hometown within the city of Jerusalem. That is their hometown of Mount Zion. Over 10 years ago now, the now legendary Adele released her first song called Hometown Glory. Apparently, she wrote it in 10 minutes, just after her mum had tried to persuade her to leave behind her hometown for uni. Even though initially back then, the song failed to chart, it later became the breakthrough song of her now 7-time platinum-selling album titled 19. Now, Chasing Pavements is a bit more famous, but this was her first song. In the song she sings, and I'm gonna sing it. Alex, you might appreciate this. Round my hometown, memories are fresh. Round my hometown, oh, the people I've met are the wonders of my world. Okay, it didn't sound exactly like that, but you can look it up on YouTube later today to find out what it did sound like. As it turns out, I believe Adele managed to capture in Hometown Glory something of the wonder that we find in this morning's psalm, Psalm 48. If you've closed your Bible, please turn back to it now. It's on page 424. That's right, guys. I think she's captured something of the essence of this psalm, written thousands of years before her hometown, the South London suburb of West Norwood, ever existed. What is this? That's why I've given Hometown Glory as part of the title of my sermon this morning. Don't worry, I'll make sure I pay her any royalties that she's due. So what exactly does Adele think is so good about her hometown? Well, it can't be its geographic location. It's a bit too South London for me. And it certainly ain't its fantastic travel links, because we all know how great Southern Rail is. No, what she finds so great about her hometown is the people that she's met there over the years. The people who live there. Those who are present with her there. They are, as she puts it, the wonders of my world. So then, turning back in your Bibles to Psalm 48, what does the band, the Sons of Korah, think is so great about their hometown of Mount Zion? What's the first thing that comes into their minds and bursts onto their lips when they think of it? Is it its geographic location or geological formation? No, it wasn't the largest hill in the region. Is it because Uncle Aaron and Auntie Miriam have that amazing hillside mansion with that simply stunning view of Jerusalem? No. Even though there sometimes can be a few perks belonging to a clergyman's family, belonging to the house of Levi and all that. Well, let's have a look at what the text actually says. How do they begin the song about their hometown in verse 1? Actually, not yet. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God. They immediately start to sing about the Lord who is present in their hometown. The glory and wonder of their hometown is the Lord God himself. The wonder of their world is the Lord. And that's my first heading. PowerPoint, please. God is the satisfying glory of his people. God is the satisfying glory of his people. What's the wonder of your world? Whose praises do you sing? Is it your wife? Is it your fiance? Your boyfriend? Your children? Your career? Your holidays? Or is it the Lord? Do you share the band's wonder? The sons of Korah want you to share in their wonder. That's why they're singing it at the top of their voices. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphron, or Mount Olympus is the cultural equivalent, is Mount Zion, where all the gods of the Canaanites dwelt, in Mount Zaphron. But Mount Zion's bigger than that, the city of the great king. They want the world to share in the glory, the whole world to share in the glory of their hometown. What's your hometown glory? I don't know your heart. I can't see your true motives. But perhaps it's worth asking yourself the following question. Have I made a good thing and turned it into a God thing? Have I made something, whatever it is, something into that ultimate thing that my life depends on? The thing that you are building your life upon. Doesn't somebody else, somewhere else in the Bible, warn against building your house on sand and not a rock? What are good things that 21st century Londoners turn into a God thing? What do we boast about and glory in the most? Just do an audit of your Instagram feed. See what pops up. One sec. Food. Food. More food. Music. Family. Work. Career. Preaching. GCSE results. Degree, PhD, MBA. Technology. Building a startup. Planting a church. Sporting success. Fitness, cars, technology, jewellery, home ownership, travel experiences, wine, friends, girlfriend, children, money, power, status, respect, sex. Have you made any of these good things that God has given us the ultimate wonder of your world? Is it marriage? What do you celebrate more? Your wedding day, or the day you became a Christian? If your ultimate wonder is not located or found wholly and solely in him, the one up the hill, if your ultimate peace, satisfaction, object of affection and praise is not the Lord of Mount Zion, if the Lord God himself, the Lord God of the band's hometown, the Lord God of the eternal heavenly city of the great king, if he is not the greatest and most worthy of praise thing in your life, then I hate to break it to you, but one day, and believe me, it will come, one day you will end up bitterly disappointed. When that thing, that something, whatever it is, that thing, that wonder of your world, which is not the God of the universe, departs from you, is lost in death unexpectedly, or via an illness like dementia, or you lose it through no fault of your own, maybe due to an economic crisis, think Venezuela, think worst case no deal Brexit scenario. If God is not your glory, the thing you treasure most, and that thing replacing God is taken away from you, then you will not have any mental, emotional, or spiritual defense against the mental, emotional, and spiritual enemies which war against your soul. And that leads me on to my next heading. God is the secure defense of his people. If your true wonder and ultimate deep delight and joy is in God, and God alone, then God is and promises to be your secure defense forever. He will defend his people and protect his people. As it says in verse 3, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. I have in my hand a postcard that I brought home from our recent holiday in Canada. The second honeymoon, as I like to call it. Can you, the next slide, please? On the postcard, there's an aerial shot of La Citadelle de Quebec, which Caroline and I visited during our time being tourists in Quebec City. As you can see, Quebec City Citadelle is not a shoddy defence like West Ham's back four yesterday afternoon. Diop scored an own goal in the second half. Ha 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 ha. No, Quebec City remained British right up until 1982. The Yanks didn't even try to take it. They were too afraid. Even after we burned down the White House during the War of 1812, they knew that attacking Quebec City Citadel would be a futile exercise. It is impregnable. We walked around it. It's impressive. It has the only French-speaking British regiment in existence. Well, it's no longer British, it's Canadian. And the enemies of... So, back to Psalm 48. The enemies of God's people felt just like the Yanks. They were too afraid. Let's read from verse 4. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Pain like that of a woman in labor. Pain like that of a woman in labor. If giving birth to a child is not scary, then I blooming well don't know what is. And I'm a bloke. I just have to watch the horror movie. I don't even have to experience the physical pain myself. And I'm terrified of just thinking about the prospect. But that's how the enemies of God felt on this occasion. As Adam explained 2 weeks ago in his sermon on Psalm 46, and if you missed it, I really recommend you go on the website and download it and have a listen. This cluster of three psalms, 46, 47, 48, refer to a particular time in the history of God's people. A siege of Jerusalem that took place during the reign of King Hezekiah, which you can read about in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. You can also read about it on Taylor's Prism, discovered by a Mr. Taylor, not Sam Taylor, but maybe a relation, in 1830 at Nineveh. It's a cuneiform inscription of Sennacherib's annals, and it's housed in the British Museum here in London. Sennacherib was one of the kings of Assyria, and the annuals quote him as saying, if we just zoom in on that and then translate into English, thank you Google Translate. They haven't got Babylonian yet, but they're getting there, they're working on it. As for Hezekiah, I shut him up like a caged bird in his royal city of Jerusalem. As for Hezekiah, shut him up like a caged bird in his royal city of Jerusalem. And then he rambles on, talking about other towns and villages he plundered. Yet nothing is said of him actually taking and capturing the city of Jerusalem or Mount Zion. Interesting. 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 32 reads as follows. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. That night, an angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 of the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies visible for them to see. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. God's enemies were destroyed. Read verse 7 of Psalm 48. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered, by an east wind. Suddenly, the east wind comes upon them, the Mediterranean, very quickly. King Hezekiah and the remnant, their defense was secure. A merry band of survivors they must have been. Perhaps these survivors of the siege were direct ancestors of our band, the Sons of Korah, whose ancient album we've been listening to. Maybe even old Uncle Aaron was young enough to have witnessed this deliverance himself. Maybe his bedtime stories were the inspiration for the Sons of Korah to write this song, Psalm 48. God's people had now actually seen with their own eyes something of what they had only heard about before. They had actually experienced for themselves God rescuing them, like what their distant ancestors, the children of Israel, had experienced 800 years before in Egypt, when God saved his people from another king, Pharaoh. Amazing. God actually, in living history, stands like a fortress rock, a secure defense for his people. And that is the theme, the main aim of the psalm. You find it in verse 8. As we have heard, so we have now seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, or Lord of hosts, or Lord of armies, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. In the Psalms, you tend to find the main theme is right in the central verse. But wait a minute, you might say. Press the pause button on this song right now. Careful observers will note there is the word selah in the original text, which is a musical term meaning pause in Hebrew. But maybe you're saying pause in your head for another reason. Stop the track. Did I miss something? You may be thinking, when did you tell me why all of this stuff is actually relevant to me? When did you answer the so what question? What has all this got to do with me living in 21st century London? Great little history lesson there, David. Well done. I liked all the pictures and that. But how is this relevant for me in the here and now? In the world of Brexit and Love Island, in the world of my uncertainties and insecurities. Okay, hold your horses no longer. I will answer the so what question now. But in order to do this, I need to fast forward the biblical tape 700 years to around 30 AD. We're still staying in Jerusalem, but our gaze is now fixed on another hill. This time we are outside the city walls, and it doesn't look like a victory. It looks like a huge defeat. All the peers lost. There's no VE Day parade going on here right now. The Roman Imperial Guard have taken some so-called king, beat him up a bit, scourged him, whipped him, given him a purple robe, mocked him, spat on him, placed a crown of sorts on his head, and eventually placed him on a throne. But this throne was no ordinary throne. It was the most glorious throne. The greatness and glory of God was never displayed in more in all of history than it was on this throne. Let me say that again. The greatness of God and the glory of God was never displayed more in all history than it was on this throne. God's ability to defend and make his people secure was never more guaranteed than when this king had this coronation and afterwards took his seat on this throne. This is the real hometown glory of Jerusalem. This is the true temple that we see in verse 9 of Psalm 48. This is why God's praise reaches to the ends of the earth, verse 10. This is truly why Mount Zion rejoices and the villages of Judah are glad, verse 11. This is why we should recount and tell the next generation, or what we should recount and tell the next generation. This is the bedtime story to inspire every child. Verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." Or as another translation reads, "He will lead us victoriously over death, the last and final enemy." This is our God, Jesus Christ crucified. Why is this relevant to you in 21st century London, in a world of Brexit and Love Island, in a world of uncertainty and insecurity? Because one day, my dear brother, you are going to die. The statistics are right this time. 100% of people living in the London borough of Wandsworth are going to die. And if you die as God's enemy, not one of his people, if you die as his enemy, not as one of his people whom he defends at all costs, even to the point of shedding his own blood, then he will have the victory over you. This is my third, final and concluding heading. This is the hometown glory that the band has been playing about in this album. Christ and him crucified. Indeed, this is the main subject of every psalm, of every book in this Bible. Christ, Christ, Christ and him crucified. Desire more of Christ and him crucified in the preaching of the word. We want to see him, and we want to see him crucified. That is what is in here if we would just only listen and look, taste and touch. The glories of Christ's cross are found in his revealed word as the Holy Spirit breathes out its truth into hearts by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The scriptures are what we should eat. Job says, "I've esteemed his words more than my necessary food." David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Think of a travel suite. Take this single verse, verse 9 from Psalm 48. Take it in the morning, put it in your mouth, turn it over in your mouth like you would do a good travel suite. You know, extract all the goodness from that verse on your morning commute to work. That's what it means to meditate on the Lord's unfailing love. Taste the victory of that Calgary love in the morning. And not just this morning, but every morning. Meditate it daily for the rest of your life. Christ won the victory over death at the cross. The resurrection was the victory parade, not the victory itself. The cross of Christ is all the glory. Doubting Thomas, touch his side. See his ramparts. Walk about Christ, the fortress rock, list his attributes. May his glorious person be a source of comfort when there is none to be found. He is the rock of ages. He is the King of glory. He is that impregnable citadel that can withstand any kind of attack. Get inside Christ if you ain't already. Flee to him before it's too late. Don't be a tourist either. Be a citizen. There's far too many opinionated tourists at church. You know, they got opinion on how things should go and how things should be run, but they're never doing anything. They're not paying tax. They're not even paying tithe. And they think they can tell ministers what to do. Don't be a tourist. Be a citizen. Christ earned that passport to the heavenly city for you on that glorious cross. The hometown glory of the sons of Korah is the cross of Christ. I'm going to conclude with these words, and then we're going to sing. Christian, rejoice. Zion, awake. Because Jesus Christ, the great King, is God with us. His victorious cross is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Whatever your future holds, whatever your present reality is, you, as part of the people of God, being citizens of that heavenly city, can rejoice in your eternal security, because Christ, the great King, has won the victory over all your enemies and over death itself on the cross, so you can have life everlasting. Amen. Amen.